What's up, Poya fans? It's the Power of You and Fiction podcast, the nonfiction podcast about fiction and its very real effects on our lives.
And we're coming at you with another one of our favorite segments, a What's Up Wednesday.
Word, word, word. I hope you liked our new format because I think it allows us to tell a more full story without you having to commit to 90 minutes from Jump Street.
Yeah, and if you don't like it, let us know. No guarantee we'll switch it up because it's our show and you can't tell us what to do.
Yeah, but this time we have one of my favorite storytellers, both in his work and in an interview, the writer for the main Green Lantern series, Jeffrey Thorne.
That's right, off the premiere of his issue number one. Go pick that up right now, like right now, pick it up. And we're doing a profile of the writer extraordinaire, the man with the big energy, the big stories, you know what I'm saying, huge dedication, like Lou said, big homie Jeffrey Thorne. And hopefully by the end of this, listeners, you will understand how Jeff, the man, the amazing storyteller, made the choice of coming on to Green Lantern and, you know, just doing it all big.
What's up? What up? What up?
It is Wednesday, my dude.
You are now tuned in to What's Up Wednesday from the Power of You and Fiction podcast. Jeffrey Thorne, Part 1, Life as it Reads.
So, as I always do, I lob it over to my co-host and he gets it kicked off.
So, we're going to start way back at the beginning with little Jeff and the important place fiction has always had in his life. I'm going to start like way back at your sci-fi beginnings. You like tweeted an interesting thread about how your father was the one who got you into sci-fi. Can you say express that verbally?
Oh, yeah. Let me try and be less long-winded than normal. You got a big editing job with my interviews. Yeah, my dad loved this stuff. He turned me on to comics really early. The first comic book I ever read was really this thing called The Great Comic Book Superheroes. It's a big hardcover book. I think it originally came out in like 1971 or something. Obviously, I got it in 77 or 78 when I was 7 or 8. Right. But it had The Spirit. It had The Original Human Torch. It had Submariner, I think. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else in there. Anyway, and I was just like, what is this? This is crazy. And then he brought me copies of these. Again, like there used to be a newspaper strip called back in the 30s and 40s when he was a kid called Prince Valiant. Somebody made a book of all of these strips. He brought me that. So the first set of comics I read were the first set of comics anybody ever made in the superhero realm, right? So I was sort of growing up the way he grew up in that space. Then he hooked me up I'm from DC. When I was a kid, they had this thing called the Big Broadcast, which was every Friday night, I guess about 6:30, whatever the news was, whenever the afternoon news was over, they would stop real broadcasting. And for the whole weekend from 7 o'clock Friday night to 7 a.m. Monday morning or whatever, it would be whatever was on the radio in 1942 or 1937 or whatever. Commercials, TV, the radio shows, everything. So I listened to Spectre. I listened to Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. I listened to all these weird old radio shows. Agent X, you know, we offer you suspense. All these crazy shows that my peers would know nothing about because who the hell is doing that? But those are the shows my dad grew up on. So again, I'm reading Flash Gordon. I'm reading Terry and the Pirates. I'm listening to 1940s radio drama adventures and shit. And then Jack Kirby shows up at a newsstand and I pick up a Commandy, I think. And I was like, what is this? And then it was just on after that. And in terms of sci-fi, he just likes sci-fi. Him and me used to go back and forth. He's a big like Isaac Asimov, Arthur C. Clarke type. And I was more into Ursula Le Guin and Roger Zelazny back in those days. And I just sort of just stuck. You either like that stuff right away. You know, I don't think that's something you grow into. Like you either dig it or you don't pretty much right off the top. And we both would, he and my mom got divorced And one of the things that we would do when we would go over to his place is that we would just sit and watch Star Trek reruns.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
And that was like the cap. Like, after that, I was like, all right, I guess this is it. I'm booked for life. And the funny thing was, even back then, I probably would have grown up to be a special effects guy, because even though I love Star Trek the way all Trekkies love Star Trek, the way I loved it also involved, how did they make this? Like, how are they doing this? How did they do that transporter thing? Right. So I would find any magazine I could find. Or they had this book called The Making of Star Trek. I hope it's still in print, because if it's not, it ought to be, which was like basically all the behind the scenes stuff that we just take for granted now, the special features stuff. Like, why did they name it the Jeffries Tube? You know, why did we do this effect this way? How did we do this effect? How come the Enterprise, for instance, why do we have a transporter? Because it was too expensive to land the ship on a planet every week. So we had to figure a way to get them down there without having to do shuttlecraft every time, or land the whole Enterprise every time. We just like, oh, they're just there. Right. And stuff like that. And I was just hooked on it, and I just never stopped.
Hey, yo, it is always wild to me, bro, to think about just like how influential parents are to our upbringing and just like our consumption as fans, and, you know, particularly when it comes to fiction. But like kids, you know what I'm saying? Most of us might want to grow up to be like celebrities, or currently, I guess now, YouTube star. You know, some folks might even want to be a part of like Starship Enterprise, all that stuff. But not many people were thinking like Jeff was thinking and saying, you know what? I want to make that. I want to know every bit of creation that processes and do that myself.
I love it. You know, myself, I'm a structural engineer. And if you know me, I am a process junkie. So imagining little Jeff taking the time to get into the weeds and pulling back the current early, it brings me joy.
Yo, and he also had a rich, rich, rich diversity of content consumption. Like, he had comic books from the 30s and 40s via audio dramas, which we are starting to appreciate ourselves. And then he had TV shows that were depicting adventures all through deep space.
Yeah, that desire and library of storytelling content met Jeff was about it. And Jeff was thinking about story all the time.
Yo, in fact, he sold his first comic book in high school. Yo, imagine that kind of hype.
Bam, I would have been elated. The crazy thing is, that comic would change Jeff's life in ways he wouldn't expect.
I am in high school, coming off my sophomore year, moved in with my dad because me and my mom couldn't get along with each other anymore because I'm growing up, right? And I didn't want to hear it from her. She's like, you got to go live with your dad. So my dad was like, okay, well, you think you're an artist? There's a arts high school in this town, you know, in DC. Get your portfolio together this summer. You can go. Like, I'm sure you'll get in. You're good, right? So I was like, all right, bet. But what did I do? I did not get my portfolio together. So, no, it was going into my sophomore year. And so I didn't have anything to show. I couldn't get in, right? So he's like, you know what? You can go to your neighborhood high school. My neighborhood high school was called Spingarn Senior High. At the time, it was the roughest school in D.C. 1 year at Spingarn was plenty for Jeff. I was like, all right, we ain't doing this again. This is some nonsense up in here. Nothing against anybody. Most of the kids were great, but it was just rougher than I had expected, way rougher than I ever wanted to do again. So I got my stuff together, right? I got my portfolio together. I was ready this time. But that same year, my dad, who likes to collect people, he had gone out one night. And at the same time, I'm at this, okay, wait. in the middle of my year at Spingarn, halfway through, I found out about this creative writing program that would get me out of English class and take me off campus, right? But my whole thing was get me off campus. I need to not be here all day long. This is driving me crazy, right? So I got into this program for writing, which I did not really care about specifically, but I knew I could do the creative writing thing and get English credit for it. So while I was there, this older kid, Gary, who was in the art side, the drawing side, we both started bonding over comic books. We were the only people in the building who both geeked out about comics, talk, talk, talk. And then we said one day, you know, it's funny. We can remember all this crazy stuff about, like, how many different Captain Americas they've been. You know, is the Vision really built by Ultron, or was he really the original Human Torch? And all kinds of crazy stuff. Like, useless. Why would you need to know any of it? But you can pull it up like that. But I cannot tell you what Charlemagne's horse's name was, or what he called his castle, or which of the senators actually killed Julius Caesar. Things that you were taught in history class that you need to pass. Like, you need a grade in that, but you can't remember any of that. And so we were like, maybe if they did it in comic book form, people would remember it. It would be more interesting, more fun, you know, like that. So we told our teachers that, our two, I guess they weren't really teachers, but like guides, mentor type guides, like guiding your writing or your art, whatever, and tutors, whatever, right? And they're like, oh, that's cute, guys, bye. And then they came back a little while later and they said, look, the city government has this thing where they want alternative means of teaching younger kids basic math, basic English stuff. Jeff, you're really good at English, like always have been. I'm verbally precocious, whatever they called it back then. Like, I was reading at like a high school level when I was like six, something like that, right? So they were like, and Gary, you can draw your little butt off. How would you guys like to make a comic book, an educational comic book for younger kids in DC? And we were like, is that a job? And they were like, yes. And so my first sale was when I was 13. I sold my first comic book script for this thing with Gary when I was 13. So that's what I thought. Oh, great. I will do this, make comics. It'll be awesome. Meanwhile, my dad's collecting people. And he went out one day and I came back home after we had sold this thing, because this is amazing, as you can imagine. I'm not even legally allowed to work and I've already sold this job thing. Come running in the house. All these people are in the house I've never seen before. I told my dad the whole big story, blah, blah, blah. And then I ran out there. Back then, there was no such thing as a cell phone. So I'd go run in the back room and call my friend on the phone, right? And when I came back out, my dad was like, you didn't notice all those people were here? And I was like, no, I know them. They're friends of yours, I guess. You're always bringing people up in here. I mean, usually not like 9,000 of them, but, you know, whatever. He's like, well, they think you should be an actor. And I was like, what? Like, what are you, high now? Right? And he's like, yeah, they were at the Folger Theater. They were doing The Tempest or something at the Folger at that time. And they're like, yeah, your son came in. He acted out all the parts. He was funny. He did all the stuff. And he didn't seem bothered by the fact that there were like 10 strangers in the room. Right. So you should think about it, Jeff. And I was like, all right, well, I will. He's like, also, it'll double your chances getting into this high school, because you have to audition to get into this high school. If they don't like your art, you can go do the thing. If you got into both, you can double major. Right. Because they would let you do that. Right. And I was like, all right, I never really thought about acting before, but if you guys think I can do it, okay, what do we do? He says, you have to come up with a monologue. And I was like, I don't know what that is. So, like, basically you memorize, not a speech, but like a character. Like, if you saw in a movie, you take out a section, memorize it, and you do the one person talking. And I was like, oh, okay. So I memorized The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe and made a little play out of it. All right, that's going to be my thing. Got my little portfolio, got my little, you know, my monologue in my head, go up there. And I get there, and they were like, yeah, sorry, students, potential students, but the school, the DC school board has said, we're working you all too hard. So, because the school was like real school in the morning, and then like about 2:30 until 6, it turned into whatever, your dance or music or whatever, right? So we can't do that anymore. You can't double major. You got to choose, right? So if anyone's up here trying to double major, sorry about it. Choose your strength and go in. And I was like, I don't I don't know what to do. I can't call my dad from here. It's the middle of the day. I don't have any. I have just enough money bus fare to get home with. I can't use a payphone. Again, no cell phones back then, kids. So I pulled out a quarter and I flipped a coin. And it came up ahead. So I went and auditioned for the theater department and I got in. And that was me as an actor for the next 15 years. It was wild too, because I was really not thinking about acting. Like, I learned everything like that year. Like, it was crazy. Like, it helped me though, because I was much more quiet, introverted type of person. And after that year, I never was again. Like, the version of me you meet that was made that 2 years I was at Duke Ellington. So, it was great. It was great. It was great. But obviously, I was always really a writer, because sooner or later, you get back on the path. So, you know, I can't believe.
That's right, y'all. Jeffrey Thorne was originally trained to be an actor. And it all started because of a comic book that he wrote and a coin toss.
Knowing the Jeffrey Thorne that we talk to now, he's a writer at the very core of his being. So it's hard for me to believe that that even warranted a coin toss.
He was 14. He had to find a way to figure things out. And he wasn't a too bad actor. I mean, he was even able to parlay that acting talent, you know what I'm saying, into a scholarship at CalArts. So no slouch.
Right, but CalArts ain't make it easy for him, and he didn't love acting that much. So it's crazy that he even made it through.
Well, and I was like, look, I told you all this in public, I'm going to tell you like this in private. I am not rich. My folks are not rich. This is one of those schools that if it was Harvard, everybody would understand why we're paying so much damn money for me to be here. This is a little school. At this time, CalArts was a little school in California, a conservatory. Which meant if I didn't graduate, none of my credits counted, right? I had blown my scholarship because I yelled at the dean at one point. And they were like, okay, no more scholarship. and then this teacher basically tried to get me to quit. And I was like, look, my folks work too damn hard. I don't know what these other rich kids got, but this is not easy money for us. So unless you kick me out, I'll be graduating, and the rest of my life is none of your damn business. Maybe you shouldn't be my mentor. She was like, maybe I shouldn't. I was like, I don't think it's a maybe. That was me being nice. You're not my fucking mentor.
It was not easy. And you could imagine it was a weakness, but I'm going to counter you with a difficult play with this clip right here and show you how he made that a strength.
I mean, the easy thing that anybody will say is like, look, you just have to believe in yourself and all that. But really, some of it's arrogance, like, fuck this. This will not stand, like, whatever. Some of it is I'm watching people who I know can't do it succeed. I'm like, well, if this motherfucker is getting somewhere, then I'm not really allowed to quit, because look at this fool, and he's terrible. So yeah, he can do it. Like, I'm worse if I quit now than if I had just quit last week before I knew that this fool was doing something. So there's that. The other thing that helped me was I care more about writing than I ever cared about acting. So even when I was being successful as an actor, when I didn't get a job, it didn't really hurt me. Where the other feeling, the other actors that I knew, they would get crushed all the time. Like, if they didn't get a little tiny job, they were like, oh, my career's over. And I'm like, man, there'll be another. Look, you were up for, like, street gang member number four. There'll be another street gang member number four. You might even be number two next time. You know, like that. Don't worry about it. Right. And they're like, Jeff, you don't understand. Every little bit, and you got to move up. And this was a big director. And it could have been, you know, I could have shown, you know. And I'm like, okay, that's fair. All that's fair. I guess I just don't care like you do. It just doesn't hurt my heart. The reason was is because I just care more about writing. When I don't get some writing gigs, that crushes me. So like 10 years later, I figured out, oh, that's what they were talking about.
Poignant counterpoint. So Jeff overcomes the odds and graduates in acting. What now?
while Jeff showed a lot of grit, you know, that grit thing that Angela Duckworth be talking about, and made it through. But we all know, we've seen movies, we've heard the story.